With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Can you believe that the winter sports are into their preseason now? What? Yeah, it's almost basketball and hockey season. They're now gearing up for the start of their regular seasons. Chris, can you do me a favor, please? Can you put up the start dates? The dates for the first puck drop and the first tip-off for the NHL and the NBA. In fact, the NHL is already skating in their preseason. But if you know me, you know it's against my religion to give you any preseason scores. Absolutely not. They're exhibition games. So I'm not even paying attention. But I am watching to see some of the different moves and new faces and new places for both hockey and hoops. Because October is coming. And October is the one month of the year when all four major team sports are in season. It means, of course, that there is no rest for the weary. But hey, we talk about sports for a living. So if we're weary, well, at least we're talking about sports. I love October, but October nearly kills me every year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It would be impossible for me to give you a storyline or a snippet from Media Day for each of the NBA teams that are getting set to tip off the 2018-19 season. So I'm not going to do that. But there are some really interesting storylines as we get closer to the start of the regular season. Yes, we've got the Golden State Warriors, who will be chasing a fourth ring in 5 years. And oh, they've added Boogie Cousins to the mix. Now, he's not going to be healthy to start their regular season, but he'll be around soon enough. I'm actually kind of interested to see how he fits into the mix.
It's really ridiculous.
This will be the first 2020 guy, 20 points, 20 rebounds per game, the first 2020 guy that Steve Kerr's had. How do they get him the touches, though, considering that they've got a lot of guys who can shoot and can score? We know this. It's the age-old problem, right? You add Kevin Durant, though, and they win two more titles. So that's the Golden State Warriors. Instead of only facing LeBron James twice a year, they will be facing LeBron James four times a year. Why? Because LeBron is now a Laker. In case you hadn't heard, that might be stunning news to you if you've been hiding under a rock, Isaac. Isaac, did you know that LeBron went to the Lakers?
I made a Lakers open.
Oh, phew. Okay. Wait, does it mention LeBron being there?
And Magic.
Okay, phew. At least the one of us that doesn't watch sports is keeping up with the headlines.
MMA is a sport.
All right. You watch one sport. That's it. At least he knows LeBron is a Laker. If Isaac knows and my mom knows, then you all should know too. There's something that Isaac and my mom have in common. So LeBron did his first media day as a member of the Lakers. As you can imagine, there were 4,327 media members there. I was not one of them. I didn't feel like this was a reason that I could present to my boss for flying me across the country. But I was watching with interest. There's a lot of intrigue there. Why? Because the Lakers are one of the most accomplished, high-profile sports franchises in the world. They're used to winning. And man, they have fallen on some tough times. The end of the Kobe Bryant era left them dry. Back-to-back years in which they set records for futility. And while they have now brought together a good young core, they also had to let Julius Randle go because of the LeBron James contract. It's a 3-year deal. It's fully guaranteed. There are no opt-outs. He's in. He wants to see what Magic Johnson can do. And to him, that tradition with all of the titles and all of the Hall of Famers and all of the banners and all of the retired numbers, that was a major draw.
Don't even have to talk about the years they won championships, talk about the players that came through this franchise that's worn this uniform. So that's an excitement in his own right. And then it's just always humbling for me anytime I get an opportunity to be a part of something special. And I believe the conversation I had with Magic that night was a special night. So I'm happy to be in this point today.
Referring to the very first night of NBA free agency, which began at midnight Sunday morning. So technically midnight Sunday morning Eastern time, but began 9 o'clock Saturday night Los Angeles time.
Pacific time.
Exactly. LeBron's going to have to get used to that now after living in East Coast time, Eastern time for the previous stops in his career. First Cleveland, Miami, then back to Cleveland, in case you'd forgotten, Isaac. And so here he is in Los Angeles, where NFL games kick off at 9 a.m. and at noon. I remember when I was living in Central Time, that was actually an adjustment. But once I got used to it, I liked it. I liked the fact that I had an NFL game on my TV by noon. It was kind of fun. And then a second game at 3. But having grown up in Eastern Time my entire life, it was weird to get used to. It took me a while. And now when I go visit my mom in Houston, I have to remember, games start at noon and 3. Evening sports generally start an hour earlier. Like, you know, so 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, or if it's a West Coast game, it's weird. It starts at 9 instead of 10. So it's even an adjustment to get used to when I'm visiting mom in Houston. Now he has to adjust in a major way. However, I get the feeling that the NBA will accommodate the Lakers' schedule a lot more, make things as easy as possible for the Lakers to be on national TV. Do you guys remember the conversation that we had a couple of months ago when the NBA schedule first came out? I have this saved, one of my likes on Twitter, because I want to go back to it over and over and over again. The Lakers, who, let's be honest, have stunk the last 4 years. They are on national TV more than any other team in the NBA this season. A whopping 32 appearances on national TV. Nerd alert! In fact, that's 32 out of 82 regular season games. This team may not make the playoffs, but they've got 32 games on national TV.
Honestly?
More than a third. And thank you for weighing in. More than the defending champs. The Warriors only have 29 of their games on national TV, Draymond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers have 2. That's just wrong.
People have feelings.
Exactly. Kevin Love has feelings. Now, what happens if they land Jimmy Butler? There's some talk out there because Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota. My God, talk about drama. Pittsburgh Steelers definitely don't have the corner on the market when it comes to drama right now. The Timberwolves are missing guys in their front office. They've got guys that want out. There's public feuds that are taking place. And Butler is, he's acting like a petulant child a little bit. And he wants out. So Tom Thibodeau is trying to convince him that he should rejoin the Timberwolves, right? So you've got this whole, like, this public pitch being made by the coach for him to rejoin them in training camp and to get there and to show up and be part of the team. But you've also got the Cavaliers who are interested in trading for him. Now, just a week ago, Butler went to his head coach and asked for a trade. So how does this play out? Public pleas and public trade requests. But that's just one of the franchises. Not all of them have that much drama. And over the course of a long regular season, a lot of it will work out. But the Timberwolves made the postseason a year ago. All right. So LeBron James now in Los Angeles. Boogie Cousins now in the Bay Area. It's not a new face for the Boston Celtics, but he only played one quarter with his new team. After signing there, Gordon Hayward had the atrocious leg injury in the first quarter of last season against the Cavaliers. And despite all the speculation about whether or not he would return and if he could be cleared in time for, say, the postseason, Celtics went to their second straight Eastern Conference Finals, Hayward never did come back. And that's good for him personally to be completely healed and have confidence on that surgically repaired leg, and for the Celtics to know they were doing the right thing for him as a player for the long term and not just for the short term. And now here he is, healthy, ready to go, meeting the media again as he gets set for what he hopes will be a full season.
You know, there's nothing like playing basketball, so there's nothing like doing, you know, just in-game stuff that you can't get from drills. You're guarding somebody, you're reacting, you're getting a rebound and trying to go straight back up with it. Like, those things I can't really practice, so to have the ability to do that was really big for me.
Welcome back, Gordon Hayward. There's a lot of interest, of course, around the Celtics because both Hayward and Kyrie Irving were out for the postseason. Kyrie with a knee issue. The two of them healthy to start the season. Let's hope it stays that way. I mean, I hope that always for every team. Sports are better when the superstars are healthy and when they're playing and when they're contributing and when you get those matchups with the household names, with the high-profile athletes from sport to sport. And the Celtics have run into that Eastern Conference ceiling the last couple of years. Credit LeBron James and the Cavaliers for getting to the NBA Finals 4 years in a row. But with LeBron departing, that leaves the Eastern Conference a little more wide open. And with the Celtics getting Kyrie Irving back and Gordon Hayward back, there's a good chance they could assume that spot in the East. There's a chance, though. They still have to go out and earn it. It was pretty interesting to see both Kyrie and Hayward on the bench during the postseason, spending a lot of their time observing and watching and learning, even though they couldn't play.
It was very difficult to have to watch most of the, well, basically the whole year last year. And then I watched the playoffs with him, too, so I know it was hard for him. To sit there as a competitor, it's, you know, the last thing that you want to do is just to be forced onto the sideline. But I think that gave, you know, some of the other guys on the team just invaluable experience. And we're both looking excited to this year and can't wait to get started.
I always say this about players who are forced to watch because of injuries. When they have what they value the most in their career, this is excluding family, obviously. When they have that career taken away from them and the ability to play taken away from them, not only does it make them more grateful, it also motivates them. Of course, they want to do everything they possibly can to get back. And they stop taking their sport for granted. But also, being forced to watch gives you a different perspective. When you're a superstar, like Hayward is, like Kyrie is, now Kyrie's had to watch before in terms of shorter-term injuries, but he's missed playoffs before, too. What you see is more along the lines of a coach or a perennial bench player. You see the game like you've never seen it before. You observe. You pick out patterns. You can catch up on trends. The game is different when you're watching than when you're playing. Sometimes you don't see critical moments or mistakes maybe that are made. Sometimes you don't pick up as much about what the other team is doing. And so I think this year away, as difficult as it was and as painful as it was physically and mentally for Gordon Hayward, it could be good for his career because now his time spent watching makes him a more cerebral player, gives him that insight, that wisdom, that experience. All right, here's the winter sports watch. Winter. There's no need to be talking about winter. We just got into autumn, but they are technically winter sports. The NHL drops the puck on its first games Wednesday, October 3rd. this has not made me feel any better. You know what else happens on Wednesday, October 3rd? The American League wildcard game. Like I said, sports never stop. October is coming. The first NBA games will be played on Tuesday, October 16th. So there's a couple of weeks in between the start of the NHL regular season and the NBA regular season. But October is where it's at. Whew. So that's, oh my gosh. And the GIF that goes along with this. Producer Chris put together a tweet that you can find after hours CBS. I feel like you should put it on Facebook too. It's awesome. Because who doesn't want to see? Well, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's just a moment that will give you chills or make you laugh or maybe both. All right, so coming up, we're going to get to some of your phone calls. All right, we've got our Twizzler Tuesday question. What do you do with your dirt cutter as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You've got Jameis Winston returning to the locker room after a three-game suspension. But you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick that led the team to a 2-1 mark with more than 1,200 yards passing in those three games. So we'll take some of your calls, 855-212-4227. You can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Breeze drops back, has plenty of time.
Run it.
Flushes out to the left. He's to the five. He's going to spin off the tackles. Drew Brees dives into the end zone. Drew Brees, touchdown Saints, 36-37 with a minute 15 remaining.
Get out and scramble. Unfortunately, the side that vacated is the side that really I have no receivers. Right? They won't run to the other side of the field. So trying to get guys rallying back and realize, hey, I'm take off and get what I can. And at some point, I felt like they were coming to try to take my head off and I could probably spin out of this. And that was just a reaction.
Your choice for Monday MVP. Hard to hear Drew Brees there. Sorry about that. But that was his post-game press conference. He was certainly in a great mood because the Saints went into Atlanta and won a big divisional battle in overtime against the Falcons and withstood a crazy onslaught of touchdowns from Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley. It was a 5-touchdown performance for Ryan. So a lot of you are asking me, why wasn't Matt Ryan part of the Monday MVP poll? Or in that same division, Christian McCaffrey. But we chose Drew Brees, and you then voted for Drew Brees out of the NFC South because he had 5 touchdowns, 3 of them through the air, 2 of them on the ground. You heard just one of them there. But that was his rushing TD that helped to force the tie in the late stages. And then it was, of course, his second rushing TD that got the Falcons, or I'm sorry, that got the Saints the win at the Falcons. Atlanta never touched the ball in that overtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll put up our TD Tuesday poll, and that's coming up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you haven't seen the latest edition of Pre-Law, that's on our show Twitter as well. But I warn you, it's not accurate, nor is it a reflection of how the host feels. So you can check that out at your own risk on either Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And it's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Marcus, who's in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Law. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good. Glad you're back. So glad you're back.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, and I'm glad to see what the team is doing, but I was taking a look at the last night at the upcoming schedule. Very, very, very tough to compare the schedule ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see how it ends, but I think our defense needs to tighten up just a little bit. But, course, a couple other loose ends, but to touch on the Fitzpatrick situation you were speaking on earlier, I think that they should stick with Fitzpatrick. He did go into a very controversial game last night. I think they were unaware of just how hungry the Steelers were. Even though the Steelers seem to be struggling, they're still the Steelers, and they've always seemed to find a way to kind of get out of tight situations. But that defense was hungry last night. I mean, they were hungry. I mean, I don't think they should take that morale that they have going on down their way by switching out at the QB position. But, yeah, hopefully they stick with it. But I think that, yeah, Pittsburgh was just very, very, very hungry and just very – they wanted that win more than Tampa Bay probably could imagine. So it definitely stepped up to the plate.
Well, I would say – I don't know if I agree with you about the one team wanting it more than the other. I mean, it just was some mistakes in the second quarter, four consecutive drives with turnovers for Tampa Bay. But they came back and played lights out on defense in the second half and didn't allow Pittsburgh to score. But I will say this about the Steelers defense. I think they were embarrassed. Embarrassed because in their last two home games, they've given up nearly nine. Well, they've given up 87 points total in their last two home games. I mean, that's a lot of points to give up on your own turf. And so probably absolutely responding to the embarrassment most recently against Kansas City in week two.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. Great to talk to you, Amy. I'm glad to hear from you every night. I go in at 2 a.m. just like you do. So you get my day kicked off, and I appreciate you.
2 a.m. Eastern. Perfect, Marcus. Thank you so much. I appreciate right. that phone call.
All right.
Yeah, it's only 12:30 on the West Coast in the Western time zone, and it's still Monday, technically, in both Alaska and Hawaii, and we don't want to leave you out. Here's this quirky nerd alert that many of you may know about the Ravens, but some of you may not. They are now the first team in NFL history ever to score touchdowns on their first 12 trips inside the red zone. Nerd alert! It's not just that they're perfect inside the red zone, but they are. They're 12 for 12. But you may not know this. When the NFL calculates red zone successes, it also includes field goals. So if you get inside the red zone and you put any points on the board at all, that counts as a successful trip inside the 20-yard line of your opponent. But the Ravens are the only team that's ever started out a season 12 for 12, meaning 12 touchdowns with 12 trips inside the red zone to begin a season. That's amazing. So as many injuries as the offensive line and the receiving core has struggled with in the last couple of years, as many criticisms as there have been of Joe Flacco, some of them deserved. The fact is that it's never just a quarterback in a vacuum or an offensive line in a vacuum. It's all of these parts that come together and either succeed or fail together. You're only as good as your weakest link. That applies to teams. It applies to corporate teams. It applies to families. It applies to our own team here at CBS Sports Radio. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And not only have they had a ton of injuries, but they really struggled to find some receivers who could fit with Flacco and who could stick there in Baltimore. And now they've given him some new targets. He's spreading the ball around. They've got a run game that starts with Alex Collins. And they're perfect. 12 for 12. 12 touchdowns on 12 trips inside the red zone. No team has ever started a season like that. All right, coming up, we'll take more of your calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Still to come, we've got QB news, and that includes Tom Brady talking about what went wrong with the offense against the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football and his perspective on the new rules governing quarterback hits that are all the rage right now in the NFL. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Snap, there's a throw to the far side, caught by McDonald over the shoulder on the far side, length 35, up the sideline 40, breaks a tackle on the 50, racing down the 40, foot race to the 30, sideline 20, far sideline 10, they'll chase him into the end zone, touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers, 75-yard touchdown, catch and run by the tight end, Vance McDonald. Shotgun snap, quick line drive, throw it to sidearm, throw it, it goes to the far side. Antonio Brown breaks the tackle, numbers of 20. On the sideline, 15, breaks the tackle, the 10, the 5, down the far sideline, touchdown Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown, a catch and run of 28 yards. Shotgun snap, looking left, guns a line drive pass, two-handed glove catch on the goal line, over the pylon, touchdown Pittsburgh. Ryan Switzer lassos a rocket thrown by Ben Roethlisberger.
We always say winning cures a lot of things, but I still think the biggest issue, if you will, was outside the locker room, people perceiving different things. I'm not saying we don't have issues. All teams have issues, and there's different things going on, but I think it was a little bigger than people probably – than it really is, than it was.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As Roethlisberger says, winning is generally a cure-all for what ails a team and its locker room. And if that includes some drama and storylines that bubble to the surface, when it seems like a team is coming apart at the seams or isn't winning, there's always got to be a reason why, right? It can't just be that the team performed poorly. Well, now that there's a victory up on the board for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Steelers are no longer among the ranks of the winless, we'll see if what Roethlisberger says about winning, trumping that and taking the focus away from the drama, we'll see if that works. The Steelers are still a very good team, and I was impressed by the defense specifically. Not only the fact that they forced four turnovers in the second quarter on the road, and that led to two touchdowns and a 20-point lead at the half, but also the way that they performed on that last opportunity for the Bucs. The Bucs get the ball back with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, trailing by three. They've got all the momentum on their side. They've scored 17 unanswered points, and the Pittsburgh defense forced a three and out. I believe the Steelers D was embarrassed by what happened against Kansas City at Heinz Field and wanted to make up for that and did. Not to mention, going back to the season opener, the Steelers are up 14 points in the fourth quarter and the Browns come back to force overtime. And so it's been the defense that's the weak link, but not on Monday night. And we'll see now if that squashes some of the talk about Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell or this guy and that guy not getting along or these guys getting along too well and leaving this guy on the outside. La, 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 la. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One Radio Network. We are asking you about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their quarterback situation because, of course, Roethlisberger is not in danger of losing his job, not unless he would get injured. What should Dirk Cutter do now that Jameis Winston will be back in the building on Tuesday morning? Of course, he was asked about his quarterback situation following the loss. Now, it was another game in which Ryan Fitzpatrick put up 400 yards and three touchdowns, but yes, he also had three interceptions. Fitzmagic did not show up for the second quarter. It was the opposite of Fitzmagic for the second quarter. Does this make the decision any more difficult for Dirk Cutter? And what does he do when you got a 35-year-old journeyman who happens to be on a hot streak, but you've also got the former number one overall draft pick who is your QB of the present, but also supposed to be your franchise QB of the future?
I'd love to get a chance to talk to Jameis face-to-face before I tell the rest of the world. Look, we got a good football team. I'm proud of these guys. We came up short today, and everyone now will jump back off the bandwagon, and rightfully so.
So that's what Coach Cutter says. We expect a lot of people will jump off the bandwagon now, but I'm going to talk to my QB first before I let the rest of the world know. You can read into that what you like, but use the hashtag Twizzler Tuesday and let me know who you would start if you were Dirk Cutter, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Austin is listening in Atlanta. Austin, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up? I just want congrats to the Steelers on getting their first win, but I just want to give a shout-out to Fitzpatrick. I think they should definitely keep him for the remainder of the season. Yeah, he threw three interceptions. Let's not go overboard with this. He still threw three touchdowns and also threw for 400-plus yards for the third straight time of the season. I mean, for people to say, oh, it's time for Jameis to come in is ridiculous. Jameis, I don't even think Jameis Winston's broken 300 yards. And, I mean, anytime you throw for 400 yards, you're making plays. And, if they do sit him and they put Jameis in, Dallas needs to do something at quarterback. Dak's done. His time as the starter needs to come to a close. He can't make the plays.
Wait, time out. Did you just transition from Tampa to Dallas in the hopes that Jameis Winston would be traded to Dallas or what?
I would take Jameis or Fitzpatrick. So whoever they go with, I hope Dallas is somewhere paying attention and noticing that they need a quarterback.
Wowzers.
If you look at Dak, he's back there in the pocket. He has a good bit of time. I mean, he has the ball in his hand for a good amount of time, and he's not getting rid of it. And you see him getting sacked, but this really isn't on the offensive line. He's not getting rid of the ball. He's not making plays. It's like he's nervous to throw the ball. I don't know what's going on in Dallas. But I think Fitzpatrick should stay. You know, if they put Jameis in, you know, I think Jameis is a bust, honestly. I don't think he's going to live up to being the number one pick. But whatever, you know, whoever ends up starting, trade the guy on the bench to Dallas.
That's so you think he's a bust, but you would take him as your starting quarterback in Dallas?
Over Dak? Dak was a fourth-round pick. You know, I think his ceiling has peaked. I think his ceiling peaked 2 years ago.
Whoa.
You know, Jameis, I don't think he's peaked. I think Jameis definitely has room to grow, and I think he has potential. But at the same time, you know, you see what Fitzpatrick's doing. I mean, you know, those receivers have been there a couple of years. Look at the plays he's making now. O.J. Howard was there last year. You know, they're making plays, and I think Jameis has a higher ceiling than Dak. I think people don't realize how limited Dak is. You know, he took over a good team when Romo got injured, but that team was ready to go. And if they would have stayed with Romo when he got back from that injury, they might be in the Super Bowl. Instead, they chose to go with Dak. Dak cannot make plays. We've seen it for too long. And
Didn't go to the Super Bowl wasn't because of Dak. You remember the game against Green Bay, right? That wasn't because of Dak. That was because of Aaron Rodgers. So I'm just saying that season. No, hold on.
Okay.
That season in which they did not end up going to the Super Bowl had nothing to do with Dak. He was fantastic. It was his rookie year. The O-line was great. Ezekiel Elliott was an offensive sensation. The reason they lost to Green Bay was not because of Dak.
You don't think Tony Romo could have battled Aaron Rodgers better than Dak did?
They're not on the field at the same time. So if you're going to blame somebody, blame the Dallas defense for allowing Aaron Rodgers to bring them back the way that they did. I have no idea. Tony Romo, you know his history in the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't like it was any better. He'd had moments in which he'd completely blown up. So I don't know. What I do know is that they've had a lot of changes at his receiving core, tight end, as well as receiving. So I can understand some hesitation now for Dak because it's not the same guys and they're rotating guys. I mean, Cole Beasley's been there, right? But he's now your number one guy. There isn't a security blanket at tight end. He throws to Blake Jarwin on Sunday and the ball goes through Jarwin's hands and ends up getting intercepted by Earl Thomas, right? I mean, it's not.
It's horrible.
I can understand why there's hesitation. It certainly the offense is not fluid. It does not look like they have a rhythm and a groove that could absolutely develop over the course of the season. But you got to think about the transition too. It's not all on Dak.
Yeah, you make some very good points. I mean, there's a lot of change, and anytime you have that amount of change, but I just think Dak Prescott, you know, I don't know how people look at him. He's probably the most a mysterious case in the NFL right now on what people believe. You either believe he's going to develop into a top 10 quarterback or you think he's hit his ceiling. You know, it's all over the place with how people gauge him, but there's plenty of quarterbacks and that have the talent around them change. I mean, like look at Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, his core changes. You even look at Fitzpatrick. I mean, you know, they change as well. I mean, receivers change all the time. So as a quarterback, you have to adapt to that. That's part of being a great quarterback. I don't disagree with Dak not being a starter. I think he's a starter in the league. I don't think he's, you know, that trash. But I do think that this expectation of him taking the team, you know, all
okay, but expectations.
Playoffs,
you know, I got to let you go because it's been a 5-minute call. But expectations are not on Dak. I mean, as long as he's doing what the team is asking of him, the Cowboys can't be worrying about a fan base that's frantic. I would agree the offense looks abysmal. It looks terrible. But think about the defenses they've played against, too. Austin, thank you so much for your phone call from Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, the game against the Seahawks, it was bad. It really was. But you also have to give credit for Seattle using those the weapons that they've got on defense. Bobby Wagner returns. They put a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. He was constantly under duress. It was that way in the season opener as well. And they're never, well, not never, that's a strong word. They seem like they are in far more third and long situations than they are in third and short. But you still had a really good game from Ezekiel Elliott. And they just couldn't come up with a compliment. It's a little easier for defenses to stuff the box and to try to stop that run game if they possibly can. It doesn't require as much of the deep coverage for sure. You know, no Dez Bryant. I know people are not super excited about Dez or weren't at the end of last year, but he still posed a deep threat. You had to follow him all over the field. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that are wrong. It's not just Dak Prescott, but definitely. There is some hesitation, some second guessing with their offense. Let's quick talk to Cody, who's in Redding, California. Cody, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, yo. So, Amy, I love you. I listen to you all the time. But I have to say, the Dak thing you just said, the thing to me about that is Dak is one of those quarterbacks who is good with what he has, which he did his first year in the league. But now when it comes down to it and he has no outside game, he has no, running game besides Zeke, but they don't give him the ball. He can't make plays is what I'm getting to. Tony Romo could make plays. I said it 2 years ago. Tony Romo never should have got his starting spot taken away because at least Tony Romo was smart enough to come up to the line and see what the defense is in, and he could still make throws.
I don't know that that's about intelligence. Dak is really smart. Sometimes it's about experience. He's still on his rookie contract. It's only barely his third year in the league. So don't make this about being smart. Dak is a smart guy, okay? Romo's a smart guy, too. But a lot of times it's about the experience, and I would agree with you. He doesn't have the experience yet, and now a lot of things have changed in front of him. You've got 20 seconds. Anything else?
Yeah. Dak is smart until he throws multiple interceptions.
Tony Romo did the same thing. Don't talk to me about interceptions and separate it from – oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me now? Cody, I got to let you go because we're at the end of the hour. But seriously, don't even try to talk about how Tony Romo didn't throw the most inopportune interceptions at the worst possible times. I know he put up great numbers, but man alive, if you needed a mistake that would crush the soul, Romo's got a resume full of those. Dak's still learning. He's still young. Let's not throw out the entire baby with the bathwater just yet. Quarterback news coming up after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.